on 2006 and getting off to a successful start, it's important to ensure that you're following through on all the tasks and setting challenging yet attainable goals for your school. This month's teleconference will consist and focus on goal setting and daily planning, and it'll show you how planning ahead can help your school rise above the crowd. But where did we get the topic, not another Groundhog Day? And when going over my notes, I couldn't even remember for the life of me why I came up with the name, especially when the topic touches subjects such as goal setting, daily planning, and how planning ahead will help you reach heights unimaginable. I even emailed Joanne asking if somehow she covertly came up with this title, and she assured me that it was all my idea. And then remembering the movie with Bill Murray, Groundhog's Day, I remembered that movie, and I thought of why I came up with this title. Have you guys ever heard the quote, "The definition of insanity is doing the same thing over and over and expecting different results"? Well, the script for Bill's movie was basically written on this concept. You have to ask yourself, why is it that we set goals in the first month of the new year? I would venture to say that this is redemption for all the screw-ups of the previous year. Factually, experts will tell you that goal setting should be done all the time, and it should be a part of your daily life. In a previous conference call, I outlined goal setting, time management, and many other things you can do to become efficient in these categories. But on this call, I'll briefly touch on some of the subjects and the techniques. But I really want to talk about Bill Murray's movie, or at least the message that it's trying to give us. So first off, I'd like to tell you a little bit about myself personally. I love movies, and many of my ideas are ripped from plot lines. I don't actually steal them. They just stimulate and help me to create new and exciting ideas, concepts, plans that I could utilize in my schools or in my business. Understanding that a good movie has to be made up of a good script and a great movie of a great script, it doesn't matter who the stars are in the movie, no matter who the key players are in the film. If the script is bad, then the movie is bad. And that analogy is perfect for our business. I want to share with you some of my mistakes that I currently am working on in my life, and I'm not sure how good this is for my consulting career, but I'm going to take a shot and be honest, and I'm going to let go of my ego and just be open with everyone on the line. So within the last 3 years, I've expanded tremendously, opening 3 schools within a 14-month period of time, giving me a total of 5 schools. My ego was flying, my spirits were high, and I was at one of the peaks in my career. I had built my schools from one little tiny school into an empire, one that most people would only imagine. I had from anywhere from 1,000 to 1,200 students roughly at any given time, and the great thing was they were all doing a martial arts style that I loved and it was dear to my heart. I was proud, but to be honest, I was scared, and I was wondering if it couldn't last forever. Were things too good to be true? I asked myself all of these questions. I traveled a lot in 2005 with a crazy travel schedule, and within 1 year I traveled once to Florida, England, Canada, Thailand, Costa Rica, Las Vegas, and then twice I went to Los Angeles, Japan, Colorado, and Bermuda. The good thing was that my businesses ran smoothly while I was gone. Profits were still good, but there were a few things that I was neglecting. And these are the things I'd like to talk to you guys about, and basically my topic on this call kind of goes in this vein. I started to realize that many of my employees, while I would estimate a good 90% of them were dedicated, I would say that 60% of them were not at all qualified. This may sound like only one problem, but it was really a small problem that would eventually manifest itself into a larger one, eventually affecting my life, my attitude, and the overall growth of the future of my businesses. Not only would it make me work harder, it would end up in a loss of profits and possibly the close of some of my schools, or a minimum, a few of them. Now, I don't know if you've heard this on other conference calls, but I pay my people very well, so well that I had offers from other school owners to actually close their locations and come and work for me. I even had a guy to tell me that he would give me his school and work for me if I could guarantee him this kind of paycheck. I was honored, but shocked at all this, and shocked in the same. My major flaw that I didn't see in myself was one that one employee said was the very reason why he stayed working for me. It was that I was understanding, compassionate, and most of all, lenient. Well, why wouldn't anyone stay working for someone that was like that? It's the lazy man's vacation, one where anyone would want to work for someone who made mistakes, and if you made a mistake, you didn't have to worry because you knew that all would be forgiven the very next day. And most recently, I took a personality profile of a consulting company, and they said that one of my biggest flaws was that I was too quick to hire and too slow to fire. And I had to say that they pegged me 100%. I couldn't argue for a second on this. So I began looking closely at all I was doing, And I instituted many of the things that I told my staff to do and also my consulting clients to do, and I had to hold myself to a higher standard. So in other words, I was inspecting what I expected. Once I started inspecting what I expected, I started looking and seeing that the quality started to rear its ugly head. For example, the very person that had told me that I was a great guy and the very essence of my compassion was the reason for his loyalty realized that I wasn't that great anymore, and he really needed to go somewhere else to work for somebody else. If I was going to keep on following up and not giving him the leniency and being demanding the way I was starting to become, the time had come that he needed to move on. And I realized for years things were being done incorrectly and negatively, but I was letting it slide. The real mistake that he wasn't responsible, and I was. I blamed him, but in essence, it was really my fault. I was the one letting it happen, and to be frank, I did him a favor by firing him. Now, another person I had working for me was a dedicated student who just couldn't say no to any of my requests, and I realized that the desire to please me far outweighed her ability to do her job as well. So even though she was saying, I'll do it, I would constantly be frustrated because the results never came close to the promises. I realized that tons of money was being wasted and time was being wasted. So that since that person had left my employment, that person has gone on to bigger and better things, working in a bank and still remains a loyal student, but just not in my employment. And we both agreed that it was the best choice for both of us. So now, here are questions, five questions that I asked myself, and you may want to do the same. You may want to write these questions down. Number one, the first question is, take a long, hard look at your school and business. Number two, are you working smart? Number three, what is it that you want for you and your business and from your business? Number four, what is it that you desire in life? And number five, what is your exit strategy? Now, let me go over that again. I'm going to list all five of these if you're writing them down. Number one, take a long, hard look at your school or business or school slash business. Number two, are you working smart? Number three, what is it that you want from your business and for your business? And number four, what is it that you desire in life? And five, what is your exit strategy? Now, let me take some time to briefly describe what I mean and why they're so important, these five questions. For instance, number one, take a long, hard look at your school. I look for areas of waste and loss of profit. Now, this could be in any area. Are you paying too much for your phone bill? Do you have too high interest rates on your credit cards? Are your gear prices too high that you purchase from your suppliers? Looking at your employees, are they working to their maximum efficiency? Are they doing the job that you laid out for them and you're paying them for? Are they making your company money? Or are they just a thorn in your side? These are all questions to ask on number one. Number two, are you working smart? This is simple. This means, are you actually delegating work that you could get done by other people? Can you make your time more efficient? Can you improve in any area of your business? And then the question that you have to ask yourself, if so, then why are you not doing it? So are you working smart? Are you actually doing the things that are important to your company? Number three, what is it that you want from your business? Have you set out long-term goals, a long-term guide or goal-setting sheets as to where you want to be and how you want to get there? Do you set goals for yourself? Do you understand what your long-term plan is, or have you even bothered to spell it out, or are you just living, like a lot of people say, day by day? If not, ask yourself again, why are you not doing these things? Number four, what is it that you desire in life? In a perfect world, if you could go ahead in time 20 years, where would you be, and what would it be like, and what would you be doing at that time? What would your life be like in 20 years? Is it going to be how you want it to be? And the last one is, what is your exit strategy? What are you going to put in place now so that when you decide you can exit with grace, finances, and just relax and live your life to the fullest? Like they say, you know, retire gracefully. So these five questions are very important questions to ask yourself, and you may want to take some time tomorrow or later today, write them down, and actually take it and make a paragraph on each one of these questions. Now, I'm not done. There's so much more and much more that I could ever put in 1 hour. But these questions are the questions that I want to ask you and I want you to ask yourself. Here are a few more things. Number one, one question is, are you doing the same thing over and over again expecting different results? A good portion of the time when I do consulting calls, people are using the excuse that I don't know what to do. Then I tell them of these amazing resources of information called the public library. You know, people want to know how to sell. They could go to the public library and get any book by any specialist in the public library on how to sell. This usually makes people laugh and people take it as a joke, but I would estimate half of the people that I recommend to read anything on how to improve their self or their businesses don't do it. Some of them say they don't read, so I recommend getting audiobooks, books on audio tape. And we live in an age of information with the internet, so you have everything at the at your fingertips, literally. So for example, right now, Member Solutions is about to embark on a campaign to get all martial arts schools to raise their tuition. Many schools are still far below national average. What's the national average? Well, billing companies are saying around $120 per month to $179 per month. I believe that even the $179 per month is far too low from what we do. But I would say that the goal is to get yourself in between somewhere at $129 to $179, and then you'll be okay. But I tell people all the time to raise their prices, and they have a host of different excuses of why they can't do it, why their area won't allow it, and why they won't do it. And it's just basically Groundhog Day all over again. They're hearing it, they're seeing it, they know it's true, or maybe they don't want to believe it true, and they keep repeating the same process over and over and over again, expecting to get different results. Number two is, the question is your school growing? Again, during consultant calls, I ask what people are doing for marketing. A good portion of them have no campaign whatsoever. This, to me, is perplexing. Especially when you have two of the top consultants at your beck and call, Melody Schumann and myself, are available for 20-minute one-on-one calls throughout the month. Heck, you can talk to both of us at the same, the same day. Secondly, I have email consulting all the time available, and Melody and I give hundreds of ideas on various calls and weekly email letters that we send out. And also, there's tons of stuff sitting in an archive ready to burn onto CD so that you could listen to it in your car. And why I don't understand why people don't have every one of those CDs in their car, and as they're driving, rather than listening to music, they're listening to stuff that could build their lives and their schools. So, again, there's a lot of information out there for you, but you have to ask yourself, are you utilizing it? And the question is your school growing? Are you in the same place that you've been in for the last 2 years, or for the last year, or for the last 5 years? If so, again, it's Groundhog Day all over again. Now, also, I would say not utilizing your consulting library as a resource. This is a sore spot for me. As most of you know, I founded TakingItToTheNextLevel.com, and I believe this to be one of the top consulting resources that you'll ever come across. Without going into it, I've offered 12 months. Every time I do a conference call, I offer a free month to anybody who asks me. Many people have not even taken advantage of the free month, not even thinking that they could lead into a second month. I could care less. But I want them to take advantage of at least one free month and see what's out there. And this leads me to believe that we're not focused on the things that are of utmost importance. At the end of this call, I'll give you another chance to listen for another free month offer. But the bottom line question is, what I want to get to in this call is, are you really interested in taking your business to the next level? Do you really have it in you to run a business? If you have the desire, this is a good thing, but it's not all you need. Most recently, I've started watching American Idol. I bet you some of you people out there read and watch this. And it seems that the first few weeks were dedicated to the tryouts. They're absolutely hysterical. And I'm amazed at how many people believe that they have talent, when it's clear to me that they are not capable of doing what they think they can. Fortunately, in American Idol, there are only a few basic raw talents, one of them being singing, the other one is look and performance. And some of them may have career opportunities in other areas of entertainment, but they might not have this raw talent that's needed on American Idol. Remember, as the owner of a business, you need to find out what you do well and utilize that skill. I guess the simple question is to ask yourself, what are you good at? What do you like doing? And then hire the people to fill those other spots that you can't do. I recommend, if you're not a good salesperson, if you don't like being on the call, on the phone to make phone sales or calls, then you got to find someone to do it. You just can't ignore it. And then the next thing is, you need to push yourself to be a professional in all you do. You need to learn, educate yourself, and become what you probably hope for in a business that you frequent. For instance, if you want to get a carpenter, you need to make sure that they're a true professional. And if you don't adopt this attitude, then we all need to get, we all together should start yelling out Groundhog Day. And this is going to be one of my taglines. But it's important. If you're looking for different results and not really recognizing the truth of what's going on, then you're never going to grow your business. So, real quickly, how to set goals. We talked about this a million times, and I'm going to briefly go over this. It's easy. How to set a goal is easy. Basically, The lesson is, take all your goals and put them on paper, and then prioritize them in an order of importance. For instance, if you have 10 goals on paper, find out which ones are most important and give them the number 1 through 10. And then these are your top priority tasks. These things are called key result areas. Your key result areas are the things that are most important to the improvement of your life, your business, and how you get the most out of your day. Busy work is easy. You know, you could make phone calls, you could check emails, you could, you know, send postcards, and the easy stuff always gets done. But the snag is, you have to be honest with yourself. It's a self-discipline. The very essence of what we teach in our schools, we don't follow as business people. But if you look at society at large, we're not a country of self-discipline. You know, obesity is on the rise. Recent studies have shown that 80% of the people are overweight in the United States. Imagine that 80% of the people in our country are out of shape and overweight. The good news is it leaves 20% of the other people to be mediocre and look good. And if you think about this, even though I'm just kidding about this, it leaves 20% of the other people a higher advantage. But the thing is that 20% of the other people are only maybe a small portion, maybe 2% of those people are going to be the ones that are going to really excel in everything. 2% of the people in the country are millionaires, or even less than that. 2% of the people that are in martial arts schools are probably the ones that run highly successful, highly profitable, large martial arts schools, or even highly successful, highly profitable small martial arts schools. So we need to train ourselves to be task-oriented, developing self-discipline to get things done. Here, I'm going to go over 5 more tips for you guys, and I'll try to go over them slowly, and then I'll explain a little bit more. So here's another 5 tips. Set specific times in a week to do specific tasks. So number 1, set specific times in a week to do specific tasks. Number 2, set monthly goals. Number 3, look and review your stats. Look at and review your stats. Number 4, set some time aside to improve the retention in your school. Number 4, set time aside to improve the retention in your school. And number 5, set up systems for everything in your school, but set up systems for upgrading your students. So number 1, set specific times in a week to do specific tasks. Don't leave it open for chance. For example, Mondays and Thursdays from 10 to 12, deliver door hangers. Do a minimum of 1,000 door hangers a week. No excuses, no whining, like the weather is bad, it rained, it's too cold, your foot hurts. If you want to have excuses and be lazy, then just find a way to delegate. So, to me, I'm lazy by nature. So I'll delegate as many things as I could possibly do to get things done that need to be done. So, you want to set times in the week that you know specifically you're going to do a specific task so that you know that you can accomplish that task and tick it off your list. And then set other times throughout the week to accomplish other things. Number 2, set monthly goals. For example, review your finances for a minimum of 2 hours per week. Again, this takes discipline. But looking at interest rates on credit cards, reviewing your costs on supplies, seeing how much your payroll is, setting up special events, doing whatever you got to do, you need to set monthly goals as well, and you need to check them off and make sure that you actually use those goals and do them. And they have to be key result area goals, some things that are going to bring your school and your business forward, taking a step forward each time. Number 3, you need to look at your stats. Review how many active students you have weekly. See who's attending classes, who's missing classes, who's quitting your school, who's ready to expire, who seems demotivated. These are all things these are the very essence of retention. Number 4, set time aside to improve the retention in your school. Institute new systems every week to make sure that without fail you get them done, like doing your 2, 4, 6, 8, 10 week calls, making sure that you do We Miss You cards, making sure that your attendance calls are being done, making sure you're sending out motivational postcards or maybe even doing a motivational call. Any and all of these things are all retention tools. And of course, having a great curriculum is also a retention tool. And number 5, set up systems for upgrading your students, building in special programs and clubs, doing special events and so on within your school. Now, even though that I've given you 5 tips, it's really up to you to dig deep. The very essence of this call is to get you to realize that if you're going to be a success, you're going to have to understand the mentality that Bill Murray's movie Groundhog Day is doing. You need to realize that in life, you have a script. Your script is your life. Unfortunately, the script started being made and written when you were a little child. From the day you started to walk, you looked for people to start adding to your script. If you fell down and were motivated to keep on going by your parents to say stand up and walk, it built in you the desire to try. If you got yelled at and criticized on a regular basis, you may have felt the feeling of apprehension, and then your script would reflect that. Your script is basically who you are. Like, for example, a person that has a few bad breaks in a relationship may think that all people of the opposite sex are bad or they act a specific way. This is all part of your script. You may think that the script is who you are, but with some work in soul searching, you can rewrite your script or you can improve upon your script. You know, you can put a script together, but it takes some real soul searching to redo your script. But you have to accept who you are in many facets, but you need to also accept that there are certain things in life that you should change. Now remember, if you choose not to change your script, you may suffer, but if it's something that is not changeable, for instance, that if you are totally not interested in doing one-on-one conference calls or you're not interested in doing 2-4-6-8-week calls, then you need to find somebody that can add and enhance your script, sort of like a co-star in a movie. And you need to find someone that will complement you. It's really all about it's all a learning experience, and you have to have self-discipline to realize this. And it's the only way you're going to do this and achieve these things, and if it's going to happen, you have to be self-disciplined. Well, let me open this up for questions so if we can. So if everyone will hit *6, and I want to kind of go over some of these ideas that I had in principle, and then I wanted to continue on. So if anybody's out there, let's just chime in real quickly with any questions or comments on what I had just said. And also, let's talk about some snags that we're having, because it's January already. It's February already, or January is over, and we have 11 months in the year. Now, if we've already set goals and we're not really on target with hitting those goals, there must be some reasons why. So let's touch base on that. Let's, as a group, kind of use each other as a sounding board. And consulting on these type of calls is really good, because if we talk about a specific issue that someone else is having, that issue may be in another school that someone else is not really even maybe realizing, or maybe their solution is something that another person could use. So let's open the line for phones. So hit *6 on your call, and anybody out there that had any comments or compliments or, you know, questions? Anybody? *6. None at all? I need to know that we're actually still on the call, though.
Yeah, we still are on the call.
We're on the call, okay. All right. Am I doing a good enough job that I'm really covering everything, that you guys have no questions? Is that the case?
Can you hear me?
I can hear you.
Okay, good. This is Mike Muyero, Sensei.
How are you, sir?
Good, sir. It's always a pleasure. Yes, I'm always great. It's always good to hear you. Let me see here. On my notes, you went a little fast, and I kind of scribbled, but I just wanted to... Monthly goals, review finances, look at stats, review active students, set time aside to improve retention in school, set system for upgrading students.
Right.
Right, okay, got it. All right, and specific, right. All right, the last thing was a script.
Yeah.
No specific answer. I mean, I'm just...
Okay, no problem. Well, that's in review. That's really it. But you know what? I have to say, I think that a good portion of what happens in our martial art, in the martial art business, and correct me if I'm wrong, anyone could chime in any time, but... Most of us fell into this love relationship with martial arts. We ended up becoming students. Then we eventually watched our teachers teach class, and we thought it was some alluring thing to do. So what happened was, is basically like the same old story of the guy who was an apprentice plumber. He started to want to do it on his own and had the great idea or the grand scheme of going out and opening his own business. The problem is that either the apprentice plumber or the apprentice martial artist, we really never ever, not everybody, but some people really never ever took the ideas and the mentality or the lessons to go out and learn about running a business. So what happens is with this kind of thing is we jump into a karate school and we start teaching classes, and we wonder on a regular basis why our schools are not really flourishing, why they're failing, why they're just floundering and staying stagnant in one specific area. And I believe that has to do with education. I mean, if we didn't know any better when we were learning as students and our teacher said do a front kick, and we've never seen a front kick before, we've never seen it demonstrated, we'd only have one specific idea in our head, what a picture that we could paint of what a front kick would look based on references. If we had no references, we would have no way of even thinking of how the front kick would be done. We'd have no way of even figuring it out. So what happens is in the martial art business is that we don't normally have references, we don't have mentors, and we don't have a way of finding out how to run a business. So what happens is we now we start up a school and we realize that we're kind of in a, we're in a catch 22 where we need to grow in order to survive. We need to have students to pay our bills and we want to grow our studio so that we can have nice lifestyles and also so that we could teach people something that we really feel strongly about. The problem is that there are so many systems in running a business, period. And I think a service business to be, you know, to be even is more difficult is that we don't really have a model. And this is a problem because not only do we not have a model, like I said when we talked about scripts, like what is our personal makeup, we have a lot of things that go against us, almost like baggage in a relationship. And so we run into this problem, this snag, where we're almost like saying, well, how do I learn about this stuff? Then comes forward all the consulting stuff. You have all the different magazines, you have also different video packages, you have different websites and so on. But basically what it is, it's a flurry of information. So what we do is we get information overload, and we're still, even though that we have libraries filled with information like the public library, we don't know where to start, what to do, how to do it, and so on. So we get caught in this situation where we repeat the same mistakes over and over again, or we stay stagnant in where we are, and we stay there forever until we finally decide to quit, move forward, give up, or change our lifestyle. And in other words, we have to rewrite our scripts. So what do we do? You know, what are the snags that we run into? I would say probably there's only two major priorities in a martial arts school. One is getting new students in the door, and two is keeping students in the door, or keeping old students. So getting new students and keeping old students. So if we think about this, if we broke it down, 50% of our time should be spent on generating new students. Everything that we do, 50% of the time during the week, if we're spending 100 hours at work, 50 hours should be spent on getting new students in our school. The other 50% should be spent on keeping new students in our school. So what are we actually doing? You know, people say, what do I do for marketing? Well, like I said, on the conference calls and on the emails and all the archives of Member Solutions, there are hundreds and hundreds of ideas from Melody and myself on how to advertise your schools. The question is, are we really doing it on a regular basis? Are we getting out every single day, Monday, Wednesday, and Friday, for 2 hours delivering door hangers, meeting new business owners? And are we actually using the key result areas, the ones that really give us business? Or are we just wasting time throwing an ad out here or there? Or are we just wasting time talking to people on the phone that are really not interested? Or are we really doing what's necessary? That's the main question. And then the second thing is on retention. If we want to keep our schools growing, are we going to retain the students and how are we going to do that? Are we doing on a regular basis all the things that take to grow your school and keep students in your school? 2, 4, 6, 8, 10 week calls. Are you doing that? If you are, how are you doing that? Do you have a specific script? Are you doing We Miss You calls? And if so, do you have a specific script on what to ask and what to find out and what questions? And are you doing, postcards if you don't get in touch with them on the phone? Are you doing motivational cards? Are you promoting people on a regular basis? Are you improving the look of your school? Is your curriculum exciting enough to be able to maintain a large amount of students? Is your curriculum basically too easy for adults or too hard for kids? These are all the things that you need to ask yourself. And this was the question that I had on question number one, the first question was, take a long, hard look at your business and your school. And ask yourself the questions like, why are you even in this business? Would it benefit you to maybe go and work for somebody and teach? Are you a self-motivator? Are you the kind of person that actually can get yourself up every day and stay disciplined? Or are you a visionary? Are you the type of guy that just loves coming up with ideas? And if that's the case, that's okay, because that's kind of like my personality. I've just surrounded myself with really good people that are able to help me and get my tasks, the ideas that I have, and they take it from my idea, from the idea stage, and they get it into a planning stage and into a developmental stage, into a stage where they could, it's an operable stage. So these are questions that you need to ask yourself. And without these questions being asked, you're going to sit there and, you know, January is going to turn to February, February to March, and so on and so forth, and you're going to find that you're not taking any real major steps. And, you know, this year you may have 100 students in January to start, and at the end of the year you might have 120. We don't want to see that, though, but in order to have some sort of growth, in any kind of recognized growth, you have to really do certain things on a disciplined schedule. You have to really put a lot of effort into growing your school. You have to become a better manager. You have to become a better delegator. You have to become a person who is more interested in the business as a living entity versus just saying, I'm a school owner. Because What happens is we enter into four different quadrants, and this comes from a really great book, and I'm going to recommend this book to the people who haven't read it yet, and it's called Rich Dad, Poor Dad by Rob Kiyosaki. And it's a phenomenal book, but he talks about four different quadrants in his books. And the four quadrants of employment are, one, being an employee, number two, being self-employed, number three, being a business owner, and four, being an investor. Number one, being an employee, is basically working for someone. Number two, being self-employed, is basically working for yourself. Meaning that you went from working for your karate teacher to opening up your own school and working for yourself, having to work the job 7 days a week, 10 hours a day. Being a business owner is having the right people surrounded around you, whether they're even non-paid people, but staff members, team leaders, and so on, and having them help you delegating time to them, giving them certain specific tasks to take away so that you could do the more important tasks, like growing your school. And then the third category of being a business owner is an investor, where you take the money you make from your business and invest it into other categories of life that make you money, sort of like in real estate, where you could make income on a rental property and so on. So these are things that we need to look into as a business owner. And sometimes I don't know if business owners or self-employed individuals are even interested in doing this or even in their mindset, which leads me to the question, like, what is it that you really want for your business? You know, number two is more being a business owner is, are you working smart? Number three, what is it that you really want for your business? Do you really want to be self-employed and just work for yourself and create your own job? And if so, that's great. Or do you want to be able to come in when you want, teach when you want, enjoy the seeing your business grow into something special and seeing it become something that's really worthwhile, where that you could pass it down or sell it at a later date or franchise it into multiple locations and so on. And then again, that leads into your exit strategy, which is number five. Like, what do you really want to end up doing? If you could look into the future in 20 years from now or 10 years from now, depending on how old you are, how long you want to do this, where are you going to be? Where are you going to end up? Or are you going to end up like half the people in our country who are on Social Security, barely making a living, barely able to survive, you know, living in some small home and having to count your pennies just because our Social Security system is failing and we don't have nearly enough money to survive according to inflation? Are you putting things into place that are going to help you? Anyway, let's open it up real quick. Anything out there, any comments? So again, hit *6. Let me give you guys a chance to have some things to say real quick, and then we can move on to some others. And if you have another question on anything else, just please hit me with it now, because I want to go over this and talk to you about it. Anybody out there? Go ahead.
We're still on, so I'm not sure if everyone hits.
It's funny, Joanne, right? Like, people are so quiet.
I know.
You know, I could take that as two things. One, either I'm doing a good job, or two, I put people to sleep. So, I want to continue in this, but at the same time, I think some of the questions, I want to make sure that I'm on mark and make sure that everybody's happy with the topic so far and make sure that I'm explaining myself fully. So how is that going out there? Can you guys at least tell me whether you think it's okay or you want me to go into a different area? Is there something else that you'd like me to talk about in this vein?
Can you hear me, Renchi?
I can hear you.
Good. This is David Kay. I had a question for you with regards to the pricing.
Okay.
You said that the national average, according to the Member Solutions and the other companies similar, are $120 to $179 per month.
I would say so, yes.
Not that I'm making excuses, but I'm below that. Is there anything that you could say specifically to that end?
Well, I can, and this is the thing. You're going to see a lot from us, and this is my main push for this year, is to get all the professional martial artists out there to recognize their worth. And I have heard for instance, the last two conference calls that I've done, I've spoken to people that were in areas that were literally charging $65 a month. And I had said to them they need to raise their prices. And of course the main concern is, am I going to lose clients? But I say to them, you know, if you're really that concerned with raising your prices, then what you should do is grandfather your old students in for a period of time, telling them that over the next 2 years they're going to get up to a certain point, and from this day forward, raise your tuition. Now, we need to ask ourselves the question, like, what do we actually, for one, $65, or how much do you charge on your tuition, could I ask you?
Absolutely, $105 per month.
Okay, well, you know what, that isn't terribly bad, I have to say. Do you have an upgrade policy where you have a master's club or a black belt club or something like that?
We do. We have a black belt club. It ups it $250 a year, so it turns out to $125 a month.
Okay, no problem. And then do you have any other programs that you could, any higher than that?
Not right now.
Okay, that might be something that you may want to consider. And that might be a way for you to add a little bit more and bring the benefits up so that you could literally raise your prices. But I would almost bet to say that if you raise your tuition $10 a month across the board, that you wouldn't have hardly any people complaining at all. You know, the funny thing is, if you ask yourselves, and I ask myself this all the time, I haven't raised my tuition in 2 years, but lately gas has gone up, oil has gone up, everything just goes up every single year. My taxes on my buildings have gone up. So people just estimate the cost of life, to go up. So we need to sometimes raise our tuition. I think, honestly, that as martial artists, our bottom line prices should be at least $120. Now, I have programs that in my school that are about $250 to $299 per month at the top level. But I have another friend that, you know, she's in the martial art business, and her tuition, her basic low-level tuition is $199 per month. So what makes her get the money and someone else not? I think there's a bunch of different things that have to do with that. One, professionalism within a school. Two, making sure you sell yourself as a quality service that people could believe you're worth $200 a month or $199 a month. And the third thing is having given more than you ever take. So, for instance, you over-provide and undersell. If, you know, people are expecting $200 worth of service, give them $250 worth of service. And you're going to always be able to see that people will, there'll be a certain select group of people out there that will appreciate the money that you charge and pay it without a problem. So, for instance, if you're in an area where it may be a little bit, let's say, a lower income area, and the majority of people can only pay, you know, $100 a month. But if your tuition was $150, it just may take you a little bit longer to find people at $150 a month. But once you do, for every student that's $150 compared to $100, it's like $150 is worth a student and a half. And you're going to be able to bring your income up with less stress. You're going to be able to deal with students in a less stressed kind of environment, less parents, less aggravation, less gear sales, less expenses when it comes to materials bought, toilet paper, soap, you know, all that stuff, you know, in the school. So, I mean, you're going to find yourself across the board by raising your tuition is going to, one, increase your quality, and two, it's going to increase your quality because it's going to give you more time to be with people that because you'll have less students maybe, but it'll also just give the impression of how your school is that much more professional. And we deserve it as martial artists. I believe that we are the best service for anybody as far as ability for children or adults, learning, self-discipline, focus, control, spiritual training, and so on. So that did I answer your question?
Very much so. Thank you.
Okay. Any other questions out there? Okay. All righty. Let me continue on. I'm going to try to go a little bit more into this. I honestly believe that as a martial artist, this is what we need to do. Of course, we need to continually keep our quality at the highest level possible. I'm talking from the heart right now. This is no script. This is not. I just want to tell you guys that as martial artists, we need to look at ourselves on a regular basis. And what we need to do is look at ourselves from every facet of our business. I continually see martial arts schools, stop in martial arts schools, talk to martial arts school owners across the country. And it's amazing how you could have one school that is totally on the upper level of professionalism, quality. The schools are clean, they smell good, the curriculum is good, the staff is professional, the way people dress, the way people look, the uniforms in the school. And then I can go to another school that, you know, I don't even want to say is that, you know, basement kind of dojo mentality, because it's not necessarily always true, because I've been in some really highly disciplined, hardcore kind of basement kind of old school styles, and they're the same way. They're professional. They have a certain protocol in their school. They have a certain respect, the way the students look, the way they dress. In fact, when I trained with my teacher, we used to have to iron our gis and starch our gis before every single class. If we came in with a wrinkled gi, he literally would have us fold our gi out on the bench, on the hardwood bench, and sit on the gi so that the heat of our butts would literally iron out the kinks and the wrinkles in our gi. There was no way that we were allowed to enter a floor if we didn't have our full uniform. And in our school, and I still do this in my school, we have to wear tabby socks and tabby boots. We have to wear our pants. Our underneath our gi has to be shorts. We have to have our dojo t-shirt underneath our gi top, our uniform top, and our uniform. If we ever forgot one out of those items, we weren't allowed to do class. There's no questions asked. A matter of fact, I remember, you know, seeing people show up to the school, realizing that they forgot something, begging to see if someone else had it. If not, just getting their stuff and leaving. Because there's no way they would have put themselves up to that ridicule and kind of pressure of coming to a martial arts school unprepared. Now, we constantly, and I have this problem in one of my locations where one of my main teachers that teaches for me, he's really very lenient with the people. He lets people get away with murder because he really doesn't want to insult anybody. He just doesn't have that kind of personality. But yet, the more leniency that he gives, the more people take advantage. And the school has never really flourished. The school is not going as well as any of my other facilities, but it's all based off of that mentality of letting the people run the school versus you setting the law and keeping it a certain way. I walk in there and I notice people not wearing their t-shirts. As a matter of fact, I get to the point where I go there and I want to pull my hair out. So I've actually started going there and laying down the law. And I found people not showing up. When they find out that I'm there or they see my car or truck, they actually go the other way. And this is sad because this is not at all the way I run my schools. So if we don't lay down the law and if we're not totally professional, we can't expect our schools to grow and we can't expect people to want to be in our locations and we can't expect them to pay top dollar and we can't expect them to upgrade to other programs and we can't expect them to look at us as, like, let's say, a professional organization or a association and so on. So this is just from my heart, and I believe that we all need to step up as martial artists, and we need to look at our schools, and we need to say, what is the message that we're trying to say? What is the goal? Why did I start martial arts in the beginning? Did I do it to learn and teach martial arts? Well, if so, am I able to teach martial arts if I don't have retention tools in place, and everybody that comes to my school, after 2 months, they quit? Am I doing the martial arts justice? Am I doing myself justice? Am I benefiting my family financially? Am I in a business where I'm not making any money? If so, then I need to go out and get another job, or I need to improve my business so that I can afford to stay open. Because if I have to close the school down, these students lose out. So by being unprofessional, I actually lose on you know, not only, you know, the students lose. If I'm unprofessional, the students lose. If I don't have upgrade policies in effect, my students lose. Because if I can't stay in business, I have to close the doors, my students are going to lose out. So these are just some things that I say from the heart. And I really honestly believe that a lot of us don't really think about this. We get caught up in what Stephen Covey calls white water. And I think I talked about this last month. But white water is basically the constant struggle of, like, being in a whitewater raft and being in, like, a whitewater rafting kind of lake, where every single second of the time that we're in this boat, we have to paddle to keep ourselves from flipping over or getting sucked up into the undertow. We are constantly in our lives. In 2006, we're in this kind of world where we have to constantly be in whitewater. You know, we don't really get a lot of time to sit in a canoe and just kind of drift downstream to look at the benefits of our lives and enjoy the fruits of our hard work, because we're constantly whitewatering. We're constantly paddling to stay on top, constantly paddling to get students in the school and keep them. If we had systems in place and we were able to be professional, these things would not happen. We would have these systems in place that there would always be a flow of new students, and there'd be a system in place for retention and so on. So again, these are all things that as professional business owners and martial arts school owners, we need to take into consideration and live up to. So, okay, we're getting close to the end of the call. So if anybody else wants to chime in with a comment or a question, please do so now, and then I'll do my wrap-up. So anybody else, any comments on what's going on?
Frenchie Alley?
Yes.
Hey, it's Dwight Woods in Miami. How are you?
You, sir. How's the weather? Good?
Yeah, we're doing fine.
Great. Good to hear. So how are you?
I'm good. I had a question about, you talked about going through the neighborhoods and and putting out, like, the door hangers and what have you. And for all my years in business, there's something inside of me that just rejects that idea.
Okay.
So to me, it just seems to be an intrusion, you know, on people's privacy and whatever. So I need you to tell me, what do I need to do to get over myself?
Well, what you need to do is rewrite your script. You see, that's important to me. And I love that you said that, because you said there's something that I have inside of me that just tells me it's an intrusion. And forever, for whatever reason that your script is written that way, you need to change that. And you need to just think of it this way. Do you feel that way when you mail them a letter?
No.
Okay, so what is the difference between mailing them a letter and sticking something on their door?
You know what, to be honest with you, I don't want to be seen going through people.
But that's okay, though, and you know what, you're the senior instructor, you don't have to.
Mm-hmm.
So that's something that you don't have to necessarily do. And I, you know, hey, listen, I, you know, my face is everywhere in the town. I don't deliver door hangers.
Right.
You know, it would be embarrassing for me to show up, although I have done it when I wanted to get exercise, you know, with one of my students last year, and we just were doing running around the neighborhood and hitting out door hangers, and it actually was trying to help motivate him so that he could see, hey, listen, I'm out there, so could you. But I don't necessarily want to do door hangers, so put together a team of people that'll do it for you. Find a young teenager that's training with you that wants to make $6 or $8 an hour, and have him pick five of your best team leaders and go out and deliver door hangers. It's really not an intrusion. Actually, it's probably a service, because if you get them to recognize your school and they join your school and benefit from the options and the things that you teach, isn't that basically a good thing?
Yeah.
Yeah, so I mean, I think the main thing is that you don't want to do it yourself, and I don't blame you. But at the same time, that's what I said before, in essence, if you want to be lazy, then you need to learn to delegate. If you're not good at delegating, then you got to get out and do it yourself. But if you want to, you know, if not, and when I say be lazy, take it, you know, I'm not saying it, you know, in a facetious way. I'm really being honest, because I don't want to do this stuff. So I'd much rather be on a phone call with you guys rather than being out delivering door hangers, but I'm not going to not do it because I don't want to do it myself. So I'm going to find a way to get it done. And many times, this is the problem with goal setting, is people, they set a list of goals, and then they go through their list of goals and they don't even prioritize, so they check off or they tick off only the goals that are easily done so they could feel at the end of the day that they have accomplished something. But what happens is we go for weeks without actually getting any of the key goals. And what happens is our schools never flourish. They never step forward. They never move ahead. And the same goes for our lives, our marriages, our relationships. We constantly push to the side the things that need the most work. And we tend to ignore the things, hoping that they'll go away, when in essence nothing ever goes away. It just gets buried and bigger and bigger and bigger. So this is why, like, you know, door hangers are only one portion of how you market, but I always find them to be a really, really good source of advertising.
Oh, okay.
But at the same time, again, for you, get a team. Get a team of young, eager team leaders that want to help your school grow, and ask them to get out there on a Saturday. You could get five of them. They could deliver 1,000 door hangers in like 3 hours. And do that every single weekend. You'll get 4,000 to 5,000 door hangers out a month. And it's actually literally on their doorstep. It's not like it's going in their mailbox and mixed in with all their other junk mail. When they go to the front door, they pick it up, and they decide right at that moment whether it's interesting to them or they want to just get rid of it. But it is a much more powerful tool than direct mail, I think.
Okay, got it.
And it's a lot cheaper, too.
Yeah.
You know, and as well, I had said in my last call, I believe, or one of them before, you could literally go around and sell the back of your door hangers to another business and have some sort of business synergy with some other local pizza parlor, and then you could actually have those businesses literally pay for the cost of your advertising. And I do that all the time. We call it co-op marketing. And people are now calling me, asking me to get on the back. We have a dentist that just loves getting on the back of our door hangers because he gets a few clients every time.
Okay.
Yeah, so it's a good idea, and it makes our school, we're literally marketing for free. In that category, you know, not in other areas, but that area specifically. Okay, any last questions? Anybody else? This is the last chance. Guys, jump in now or else we're going to end the call. Okay, I'm going to wrap it up. And when I wrap it up today, I just want to also say, please don't ever take anything that I have as an insult, or and try to have an open mind and listen to some of the things that I have to say, but pick and choose what you think is most beneficial to you. But listen to me when I say to you that if your business isn't growing, it's not because of the economy. It's because something that you're doing. And I know this for a fact, because when any of one of my schools flounder and they don't hit their goals, basically all I need to do is look at what goals weren't hit and ask the person in charge if he did X, Y, and Z. And normally, 99.9% of the time, they'll say no. So if we haven't gotten many new students that month, they neglected on their marketing. If they didn't do upgrades that month, they didn't call and ask for them. If they didn't have a good financial ending, a good income that month, it's because they weren't doing pay-in-fulls or gear sales or special events or so on. It always ends up being on the lack of follow-up and follow-through, not chance. There's no way in this society that we shouldn't be able to have 200-300 martial arts students in our school if we're doing the right things, advertising correctly, but consistently putting in sweat and hard work into our schools. It's a guarantee. It's really no science no secret tools to running a business. It's not always going to be about location and the economy or, you know, it's really all about how hard you work. I mean, there are guys out there in the martial art industry that have schools in a basement and they don't have a sign on their door and they have 300-400 students. You know, so it really all depends on you. And I'm available, again, I'm going to offer this, and this is another thing that I find people do not take advantage of. You can email me. And the email is renshi.lininja@aol.com. That's renshi.lininja@aol.com. You guys could email me the silliest questions in your opinion. It doesn't have to be, hey, Allie, what do you think about this? Allie, I'm doing this and it's not working. Do you have a spin on it? Or what's your opinion on this? You know, and I'll try to give you some insight if I have it. If not, I'd also like to know what works with you guys, what you guys are doing, so that we could pull together our resources and be a huge consulting company and utilize all the champions that are out there, because I'm not the only one of them. We have guys that are quiet in member solutions that don't say a word that make me look like small potatoes. There are guys out there grossing $70,000, $80,000 a month in their single location schools. So these people are amazing, but they just sit back and they're quiet, and we could learn an awful lot from them as well. And also, the last thing is I want to offer one more time to you guys a free month on takingittothenextlevel.com. And I have to tell you, I've had a 90% retention rate on all my people that get on that website, but the people that actually end up quitting are the ones that don't even read the material. Because for the amount of money that we charge for it, you absolutely could find some benefits. But the most important thing is, are you actually doing it and putting things into action? That's the most important thing. Are you taking a new idea every single week and putting it into action? Are you taking a new system and getting it better? Are you doing all the things that you know you should do? Are you listening to the conference calls? Are you listening to reading the emails? Are you reading a book every single week, discipline reading? Are you exercising physically? Are you doing all those things that you know you should be doing that you would be telling your students to do? That's the question, and that's what I'm going to leave you with. I had a good time today. I'm hoping that you guys enjoyed the material. I'm hoping that you like what I have to say, and I'm really, really hoping to hear from you guys. So please give me your feedback. Give me an email. Tell me that you liked what you heard. Tell me you didn't like it. Whatever it is, I'm into constructive criticism, and let's definitely stay in touch. Joanne, thanks again.
I hope you like it.
Guys, have a great, great day, and here's to a new year. See you soon.